Imagine a world where magic flows through the veins of rulers, where elements bend to their will, and where the most powerful king in the realm has perpetrated history's greatest fraud. For nearly a century, Atlas, the Sun King of Aphelion, has imprisoned his brother Tyr, the rightful ruler, in a hidden tower within his own palace. Gabriel, one of 10 warders magically bound to silence about this secret, has watched Tyr slowly dying from Arcturite cuffs that block his magic while caring for him in secret. The continent of Arrhenius wasn't always this way. During the First Age, catastrophic disasters struck each realm. Heat waves in Aphelion, people turned to stone in Tor, meteors hitting Aurora, sea dragons attacking the depths, and plagues in Heart. These calamities led to the Second Age, when the Imperium, a flickering, shape-shifting divine entity, chose rulers to wield magical artifacts that would tether Arrhenius to magic. But even this divine intervention couldn't prevent human ambition from corrupting the system. The gleaming streets of Aphelion hide a growing darkness. Low-faced citizens, long oppressed under Atlas's rule, have begun to organize. Erevan, the charismatic rebel leader, orchestrates increasingly bold actions to force Atlas to address their grievances, including a bombing in the 12th district that kills hundreds. Gabriel, despite his sympathy for the Lo Fei cause, cannot fully commit to the rebellion due to his magical bond to Atlas. Their conversation in a dimly lit back room reveals their fundamental differences. If their benedictions extend to only what's profitable and not what's right, Erevan argues, then how long will it be before we're in this position again? When Gabriel finally breaks his magical vow to expose Atlas's deception, "This king has been lying to you all for over a century. He is an imposter." A riot erupts, providing cover for Lore and Nadir's infiltration of the palace. This public revolution represents a turning point in Aphelion's political landscape, though its full consequences remain to be seen. Lore discovers she's Cersei's granddaughter, heir to the Heart Realm supposedly destroyed centuries ago, explaining Atlas's obsession with her. As Primary of Heart, she possesses dual magical abilities, destructive red lightning and healing magic, though controlling them proves challenging. "Your magic isn't broken," Nadir tells her during training. "It's waiting for you to claim it." Lore's journey becomes tied to finding arcs, objects that amplify the artifacts. When she finally obtains the Heart Arc, her sealed power erupts spectacularly, but the Aurora King immediately appears, stealing the arc and capturing both Lore and Nadir. Lore learns Heart's destruction was propaganda. Rhiannon, Cersei's distant cousin, reveals that Atlas's rejection by Cersei fueled his rivalry with Wolf, Cersei's chosen mate. The arcs conceal a dark truth. King Herrick created them to slowly kill Zera, the first divine ruler. Evidence suggests Zera wasn't magic's creator, but its steward, raising profound questions about magical authority. Have you ever felt a connection so powerful it seemed written in the stars? For Lore and Nadir, their mate bond, a rare magical connection with only 100 pairs documented since the beginning of days, manifests physically. The air shifts when they meet, and their magic fights to escape when separated. Lore, traumatized by years of captivity, initially resists. "I can't be trapped again," she whispers, "not even in something beautiful." Nadir respects her boundaries while battling his own desire. Everything changes during the Winter Ball. When jealousy drives Nadir to carry Lore away after she flirts with another man, they surrender to their attraction. Their magic intertwines during lovemaking, his swirling colors melding with her red lightning. "I love you, Lore," Nadir declares, "from now until the evanescence takes us." Their happiness is shadowed by the torch's warning about two primaries bonding. That way lies only ruin. Despite these dangers, they choose each other. Family isn't just about blood. It's about who stands beside you when the world burns. For Lore, Tristan, and Willow, their bond was forged through shared trauma and survival. Now, that bond faces its greatest test. Willow's confession to Lore, How do you think it felt knowing what those monsters were doing to you while I lay safe in my bed? Reveals her crushing guilt. Their relationship strains when Willow discovers Lore's meetings with Nadir, viewing it as betrayal of their family's suffering. Tristan's relationship with Lore shifts upon learning he may be the Woodland's primary instead. When Nadir jokes, "Welcome to the family, brother," Tristan remains hard, though this suggests potential reconciliation. Uncle King Cedar's admission that he visited them as children until their parents requested distance reopens old wounds. Letters show their mother tried to shield them from political schemes and magical destiny. During Atlas's bonding ceremony with Apricia, his reluctance reveals his true plan, to bond with Lore instead, using her primary power for himself. Cloris Payne's claim about Cersei causing a magical drought becomes questionable as her manipulation of Lore and Nadir's mate bond reveals hidden agendas. The Woodland staff's cryptic messages gain significance alongside Nerissa's discovery that the arcs were amplification devices for the artifacts. Zara's journey from mortal queen to goddess demonstrates the fluid boundary between human and divine. Her priestesses, originally guardians, perverted their purpose during the burning, slaughtering villages while claiming divine authority. The Imperium manifests uniquely to each observer, as brilliant light, star-formed humans, or a voice on the wind. Its preference for Zara over Herrick as divine caretaker sparked centuries of conflict, while its interest in Lore suggests another pivotal shift approaches. King Herrick's downfall illustrates divine power's corruption. His obsession with virulence, dark magic promising godhood, transformed him from beloved ruler to lord of the underworld, his arcs still threatening the Second Age. When everything is at stake, what would you sacrifice for those you love? This question drives the climactic confrontation as multiple forces converge on Athelion's palace. Gabriel's revelation of Atlas's decades-long deception ignites chaos. Citizens riot against temple guards, while others flee, providing cover for Lore and Nadir to infiltrate the palace through Princess Selene's secret passages. In the Mirror Chamber, the Heart Arc recognizes Lore instantly. Golden light erupts from her hands before the Aurora King claims the Arc, leaving them to face his elite guard. Bound in cold iron during transport to Aurora, Lore makes a desperate gambit. Drawing on pain and rage, she summons magic despite her restraints, creating purple lightning that incapacitates everyone nearby. The victory turns hollow when she finds Nadir. Though unwounded, his breathing falters and skin turns cold as Lore realizes her untamed magic damaged something vital within him. Despite her efforts, his heart stops. As Lore navigates between mortal and divine realms, she must confront whether godhood would protect her people or corrupt her. Perhaps true power lies not in divinity, but in how one chooses to wield influence.